You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia tau te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tuanuku e takatonei, o te tai ao e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week on The Green Desk, Jack is talking with Forest and Bird's Northland Forest Advocate, Dean Dagent Mercer.
Forest and Bird has released helicopter footage of Russell State Forest up in Northland ahead of a 1080 drop plan to turn around the fortunes of this collapsing forest. The footage shows our native trees such as the Tortora and Northern Nata are dying on a massive scale from pests. To start, Dagent Mercer gives us a little history of how the forest got to be in such a sorry state.
Well, it's interesting why state forests were set up in the first place. Prime Minister back in the late 1800s was Sir Julius Vogel, and he was persuaded that the agriculturalists were going to take over this country and wipe out all the forests. And there was a huge amount of sediment going down the rivers and waterways. So he was proposing setting up 10% of native forests that were left then to become state forests to protect the landscape from erosion. So that's how state forests came into pass, and then after another election, other people came in, and the agriculturalists took over, and they canned the idea. You've probably heard of the kind of pressure from agriculture before, and it's just continued down decades. So that's how Russell State Forest was set up. Possums arrived in Northland in the late 50s, early 60s. From that time, they spread out, and they are in every corner of the north, and they've been eating their way through. Russell State Forest itself had a 1080 operation over part of the forest in 1995, and there has been some trapping in the easier areas. But basically, since possums arrived in Russell State Forest, there has been nearly no pest control. So what you're seeing over decades and decades is the collapse of different species, native species within that forest. And so we released, this is Forest and Bird, released footage of what's happening from a helicopter last week. And you can see at this point, it's Tortora trees that are dying. Already the possums have killed most of the Northern Rata, the giant Northern Rata trees in the previous decade.
That's wild. How does like a little possum and these kind of rats actually kill these giant trees?
Well, it's the possums themselves that kill the trees. They keep going back and nibbling new shoots. So, you know, Tortora have quite spiky leaves, so they don't eat the adult leaves. They keep eating the new buds of them. Research has shown that possums can tell when an individual tree has high protein, and they are the ones that are targeted first. And once they've killed that tree, then they move on to others.
So they kind of lose all the leaves on the top and they can't survive anymore.
Yeah, when a tree produces its leaves, it's, you know, to photosynthesize. But a leaf doesn't stay around for a long time. It's usually there for 1 or 2 years. And once that leaf is past its, you know, used by date, it falls off. But if the new buds that will create the new leaves keep getting nibbled off, then that tree dies. And what you see in these really big ancient trees is often a whole branch dying, then another, and then the tree's dead.
It's kind of like death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And so the impact that rats have is they will often nibble flowers, or they will nibble into seeds and eat seeds, whether they're on the tree or if they've fallen on the forest floor. So when you have really good pest control, whether by trapping or 1080 or some other means, you will see a huge amount of seedlings coming up because the rats aren't eating them, either as a seed or as they come up as seedlings, because rats will eat seedlings like they eat salad.
So what's the game plan for getting the forest back to good health?
Well, with Russell State Forest, it's a forest that's under treaty claim by the nine hapū that surround it, all within kind of the Ngāpuhi Confederation. And last year, Maggie Barry, who was the Minister of Conservation, was persuaded to support a hapū-led approach, a 20-year recovery plan. And the hapū māngai, which are the kind of people, representatives from each of those hapū, have been meeting for nearly 2 years and coming up with this kind of rescue plan for the forest. In the meantime, DOC has been working towards an aerial 1080 operation this winter, well, spring really now.
So that's just going to kind of take out a few of the baddies so it can So then further work can be done.
Yeah, you know, if as soon as that aerial 1080 operation happens, you know, there will be a bait in every territory of rat and possum in that forest. And as those rats and possums consume those baits, the possums take around 8 hours to die. And as those animals go back to their dens to die, they're attacked by stoats, ferrets, weasels, and feral cats, which also die. So there's no other method that can knock down all the worst offenders at once within, you know, such a short period of time. But the other tragedy is, in that forest, I flew over it the other day while we were filming it, and we were over it for probably 45 minutes, and we saw three kereru the whole time.
Mm.
And it's in a really desperate state. Already, wildlife surveys between 1979 and 1993 showed that 80% of the kereru had disappeared from that forest. And so, you know, probably kiwi and many other species are down to really low numbers. So the sooner action is taken, the better, because we don't want the genetics of those birds to get so low that they become inbred.
Are there other cases around the country where you can, like, see how big an impact the 1080 drop will have? Like, will it take out, you know, 50% of the pests, or is it a bit more minor than that?
Oh, no, no. No, it takes out a lot more than that, usually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. There's what happens before every operation is that there will be people in there monitoring the level of rats and possums, and then they go in afterwards to measure what's left. And usually it's between around 90% of the rats and possums are gone. So in some cases it's been 100%. They haven't been able to detect rats or possums in these large areas.
Whoa. That's wild.
That's why it's the most successful method. But if you're doing it in a small area with a large kind of edge, then rats reproduce really fast and they start moving in quite quickly. But doing it at this time of year means that the native birds that are building their nests right now, laying their eggs, they actually get to nest in peace for one good season. And some birds, like our fantails, they can have four nests between the start of spring and the end of summer, with four chicks in each of them. So their numbers can build up quite quickly given the opportunity.
Mm, excellent. And so a final kind of question about the Russell State Forest. Is there a lot of public access there?
The Te Araroa walkway goes through the centre of Russell State Forest, but because there is Cody dieback in one part of it, it's closed at the moment.
Mm.
But there's lots of logging tracks through the forest, and the hapū in the future want to open them up for kind of tourism experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's always kind of my belief that the more you can get everyday Kiwis out to actually experience the landscape, the more they, you know, are invested in it and really care about it and want to, you know, get behind these things and take care of the forest.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so we're going through this kind of odd stage at the moment where we're having to keep people out of forests until we have the right infrastructure in them so people accidentally don't end up killing trees by spreading Cody dieback, which is kind of a counterintuitive thing, but hopefully, you know, areas will be able to be opened up again progressively for people to have those awesome natural nature experiences.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Mauri Ora.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.